3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Dubcast, everybody. How you feeling out there? Selah shouting out to ya. How's everybody doing? Hope you're feeling good. Live from the studio, I'm here with my good friend, Miss Baby Beats. She's joining in with me tonight, going live here in the studio and live on Anchor and Spotify. So hi to everybody out there in podcast. Phil, can I tell you how I bombed this weekend? No, we got to do the concert calendar first. Throw that music up there.
Concert calendar.
It's not really a calendar, but... This week, Selah Dub is on the road, actually in our hometown, in the neighborhood. We're going to be playing in the Cargo District, uptown at the Alcove Beer Garden this Thursday evening, November 3rd. Don't miss it. Selah Dub live at 6 o'clock for the Thursday jam at the Alcove Beer Garden. Don't miss it. We got a special set for everybody. Mixed up, new music. It's going to be fun indeed. Then Saturday night, we're in Surf City, USA. Surf City, North Carolina. Jamming at Just Mike's uptown in Surf City. Don't miss it. All the good friends will be there. And we got a real special show for that one because we got some requests for the old school Selah Dub. That'll be Saturday night in Surf City at Just Mike's. That's an 8 o'clock start. Don't miss it. Check out the concert calendar at selahdub.com and all the goings on. Big love and unity from the Dub. All right. So we got Miss Baby Beats with us tonight. How you doing tonight, Baby Beats?
Doing well.
Yeah. So this is the new format. Got the new format for the Dub show. I spent a long time trying to figure it out, so I didn't even do a podcast this year. We had a big, long tour and played everywhere, but I realized I had to have some easier way to do it, so I figured a new format would be no format. What do you think?
Can't fail. Set the bar low, yo.
So the new format is no format. We just yickety-yak about whatever happens and whatever we feel like talking about. So that's what we're doing. So I just got a friend here with me, so it makes it a lot easier. We'll be doing some interviews and stuff, but right now we're just going to have fun talking about all the things going on with the Dub. All right? What do you think? You going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This will be good with our help anyways. So anyways, last week we had the Halloween rainout. Friday night was the big costume contest at Live CBD, and we had the big rainout, unfortunately. So we had to come inside and do it in the studio. And Girly had her costume, and we were ready to go, and it just started pouring down rain. It was going to be outdoors on the lawn, and all the kids were coming. It was going to be a fun time indeed, and we're going to have a costume contest. And unfortunately, couldn't do it, but Live CBD always has us in mind, so we'll be back there playing on the lawn in the springtime when it warms up again. Check out Live CBD. She's our sponsor. Kim over there makes the gummies and stuff herself, so don't miss that. If you get a chance to get up on Castle Street, she's up on the 4th Street in Castle District. And good times indeed up there. Next time we play at Live CBD, I'll let you guys know. And then Saturday, where are we at? We were at the good old Seagate Bottle Shop. And we've had a good run the last couple of months. We've been playing a lot of fun shows. Everything's been packed and cool crowds, but something happened on Saturday night. In some people's minds, I wouldn't have bombed, but I feel like I bombed. I definitely lost the crowd by the end of the show. We did great for the first half, but something happens sometimes and you just get tired. The crowd gets tired, and man, we just got into one of those grooves because we play all the time. I can't like win every night, but I feel like I was bombing that night. I had to really get my act together, so. It was fine. I didn't bomb. Did I bomb?
No. We set up in a tiny little cubicle space. Our sound was bizarre, and they were a different crowd. It was a bunch of golfers, nice people, but not going to get up and dance and
I think I had the bass a little loud, maybe.
Yes, it was.
I had it set for some of the more dance hall parties, so the bass was a little loud. I think we just were blowing their eardrums. So it was good for me to get that little bomb. It's good for you as an entertainer. So that's kind of what we're talking about on the show, is entertainment and life on the road. It's not always an awesome winning experience. Sometimes you come home feeling like the team lost, or you just kind of, what can I do to fix this? Or I really wish I had these songs that night, and or I rushed through some material. So for me, I felt like I just kind of created this wall between me and the crowd. So I want to work on that, you know. So I went home and did all these notes about how to break down the wall I create between the crowd. A lot of musicians get like that. You get introverted and you get into your own little world up there because you kind of get embarrassed. And that's the main thing I realize. I get embarrassed on stage. I put on the sunglasses. People are like, you're so cool with your sunglasses. But it's not that I'm highly embarrassed up there on stage.
They think that we're blocking the light out with the shades, but really it's so that you can't see the deer in the headlight look that's on our face underneath them.
Oh, it's hilarious. Definitely hilarious indeed. That look. Oh, there it is right there. So anyways, it's been a good weekend. We got a lot of good things ahead. So Saturday wasn't all bad, but we'll be back at Seagate Bottle Shop for another round here in a couple weeks, and we will bring the party set. We'll lower the bass, and I will get the crowd. We don't always bomb there. We always have a great show, but I've had a lot of, you know, 10 killer shows in a row, so can't be, you know, good every night. Summer was awesome.
Yes,
right?
It was. Yes. You win some, you lose some. We had a pretty good strike of wins this summer, for sure.
Greatest summer ever, because got to play with my favorite musician in the world, Stephen Marley. My favorite band in the world, Steel Pulse. Then we got to play with Bob Marley's band, the Wailers. Got to do little mini tours. And indeed, that was a learning experience and an exhilarating experience, an honor. And we were just lucky to pull off some good shows with no real big glitches. And we were lucky to just have a great, you know, sound every night. And it's not always good when you play night after night on the big stage, because you're the opening band. You don't have a lot of time to set up and get everything going. But luckily, where we were playing, we knew all the sound people, so everybody was very lenient, gave us plenty of time to set up, and they knew how to mix us. So it's easier when you're playing, like we were playing in High Point and Wilmington and some just close by areas. So, but it was just so awesome, you know, just to play and get to hear Stephen Marley and Steel Pulse play by the side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, you notice when I get around my heroes, I turn into the strangest, I get starstruck every time. Meeting Steel Pulse especially, I was starstruck in the crazy. I kept telling them, man, I'm starstruck. They're like, what's wrong with you? And I've met all these guys for years, you know, but I was starstruck, because that's where our biggest influence is, probably Stephen Marley and Steel Pulse. So that was incredible, and we had a great run throughout the summer. That right after the last Steel Pulse show, I didn't know why I was feeling so wigged out at the show. I knew it was like 100 degrees, but I was feeling messed up in Wilmington, and then I had to get down to High Point, and man, sure enough, 3 days later I had just contracted the craziest version of the virus, and I guess I had pushed it so hard. So then I was out for like half, the rest of the summer was gone. July went till, you know,
mid-August,
the first couple of days, and then boom, next thing you know, September's here. So we missed a lot of the summer due to having to cancel shows due to the virus, but we got back in action. And then summer turned into a little bit of sort of fall here. It's kind of summer, and we had our little runs through all our little small places, which was awesome. And then we got to play with the Wailers, and that what was great with that was we played with Signal Fire and Treehouse, and those guys are great friends of ours, and we grew up playing together and kind of have all developed this low country reggae here. So we got a chance to all hang out and do a show together, which for years we haven't done for years shows together. We're always playing and headlining all over the place, and the clubs are too small to have two bands really, so we just all headline everywhere. So we haven't got a chance to have all three of us in the same room, the same building. So it was like 5 hours of super fun music, and I got to hang out and see Signal Fire and Treehouse and how much they've just grown. I don't think I've even seen one of their shows in 5 or 6 years. Every time they're playing, I'm playing. And so we missed all these years of growth. So that was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was really impressed with the music community. People came out early. We started at 3:30 and music was going to about 9 p.m. And it was packed the whole time. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And the Wailers were awesome. They were so awesome. It was like the Wailers were better than I've ever seen them. The lacking element was that the Wailers have grown old now. So it was just like, you know, cousins and nephews and the family man's son was playing bass. So it was good. It was awesome. But the Wailers that we grew up with have moved on. And the first time we played with Wailers was in 1994, if you can believe it.
Not I.
You weren't in the band in 1990. I'll tell you what happened with that show. Bert and I, we had Sloppy Joe for 5 or 6 years, and then we started CeeLo Dubh. And we were just Bob Marley. Bob Marley was the greatest musician to us out of all musicians. And there was a time there before we opened for the Wailers that all we listened to was Bob Marley. We were just little kids. I was probably 24. And we were like listening to only Bob Marley, only Jamaican roots. And we had started CeeLo and played for about a year. And our first big opening show, because we had already played with the other band for so long, the clubs just expected us to jump right in there. And so you're opening up for the Wailers. And we were just kids. And we were so nervous. And we met the original Wailers that night. We met the Wailers the first time we played. We met Family Man, Junior Marvin, Al Anderson, Wirelando. I mean, Drummy Zeb played with him, who was from our area. So we kind of knew him. And so ended up getting to know the Wailers. That was the first time we played, because we were the little kids. Like, they were kind of laughing about us being so young and being kind of the opening from the mountains. We were living up in Boone, so we were green. So anyways, what's funny about that show and why they remember us: we open up the show and I had a great 45-minute set ready. I was just like a little kid, and I got up there all nervous, and the band was nervous, and we just started whipping out the tunes and whipping them out real fast and ending everything real early. And we did our 45-minute set in about 20 minutes. and no one had even come. The room had not even filled up with fans yet. It was probably like started at 7, and about 7:20, we like stepped off the stage. And I walked back, and the guy brought me back to the office, and the owner was there, and there was Family Man in the office, and I'd already hung out with him a little bit, and they were kind of laughing. He was like, "You need to go back out there and finish your show." And I was like, "Well, that was my set." I was like, "You want me to go back up there?" And Family Man was just looking at me laughing. He's like, "You finished your set in 20 minutes," and they're all laughing at me. And I was like, "So you want me to go repeat that set?" And Family Man just looked at me and said, "Just think of it as a sound check. There's nobody here. Just go up there and do that again." So we went back up there, and this time we took our time, and it was the first big opening show we'd ever done for a big band. And I remember at the end of that first set, there was the Wailers watching us on the side of the stage, and we were honored to be able to play with them. We weren't that great yet, and we'd only been going for a couple of years, so it takes a long time to learn, but we pulled off our first Wailers gig and got to know them. So that's a funny story.
You said 1994, right?
That was 94, yeah.
So before all the social media and stuff, how did you guys actually get into reggae?
Oh, well, it wasn't allowed. It wasn't allowed for little kids like us from the, you know, from the suburbs to get into reggae. It was just like a Jamaican and an immigrant thing, you know, when we were growing up before social media. So our first band was like a punk ska funk band, and we were a lot like No Doubt or something. We were a big band with, you know, two guitars and drums and two drummers, and it was huge. Lead singer. It was a huge band, and we played ska, and we were really wild. But Bob Marley and reggae was Bert and I's like the height of all music. We just didn't think it was allowed to be played. So we would creep in a little reggae here and there in the 80s. But when the 90s came around, we moved to the mountains and we just were like, we're going to go full force and just play roots reggae, like Bob Marley style. And it was kind of like not really necessarily accepted for young kids like us at that time. Music was segregated in a different little zones. And the reggae world was like almost like older jazz musicians. They were like roots reggae people. So we were the first little kids, like surfer, skater kids, to do this little band. And we came out of the mountains. We were just so hardcore into it that the older people kind of adopted us. And so what ended up happening is we got in with other touring reggae musicians that needed work. And Bert and I ended up working with the elders pretty much that taught us the ropes and got us the gigs. And because of our ambition and our dedication, after a couple of years, we were just in the mix. And back then it was different than now. There was like a network of reggae bands that were all doing the same venues and trading the gigs, letting each other know, telling each other how much we're supposed to get. And we were looking on, we were following maps to get around, and we were just calling on the payphone if we were lost, and we didn't have a cell phone or anything. It was before we might have had like little, probably had our little gadget phones, but those first few years was wild on the road for sure. They'd just call us and give us directions. We'd put flyers out, we'd send the club flyers, but everybody put the flyers out, people looked at the flyers. It was just a different thing. The shows then, if there was a reggae show, there'd be a lot of people there. So it was a responsibility to be really on point. You had to be on point because it was a different kind of music was different back then. Everybody had to be on point. That's the only thing I can tell you. So that's why I got to open up in the 90s. We got to open up for everybody because they needed somebody young and energetic and just like easy to deal with to open up for these bands because they take a long time to set up, and they needed like some young kids to jump in there. So we became the opening band in the 90s. So it taught us a lot. We got to play with everybody from Jimmy Cliff, the Wailers, Burning Spear, Lucky Dubé, Yellow Man, Toots and the Maytals, Eka Mouse. I mean, we just played with everybody, and all the way up till 2000, about, you know, 9/11 or so, you know. So anyways, I diverge. I go on and on. I could tell you stories for hours and hours about life on the road, playing with the Wailers. But it was an honor to play. After that, we played with the Wailers a dozen times. Heather and I got to know the Wailers, and just was such a great group. And the fact that they're not the same people, but they're still carrying the music, to me is an awesome tradition, an awesome thing. They still blew the place away. They had a sold out audience, and the spirit of Bob Marley just was just in the room blazing, you know, blazing bright. So reggae lives on and on through all of us and all the Cali Roots bands. And the scene coming out of here has definitely come from the music of Bob Marley. So all of us were just super honored and blown away by that experience. That was the Wailers show. So big ups to Signal Fire and Treehouse for sure. Ken and Sean and Carl from Treehouse and Jeremy from Signal Fire and Jeremy from Treehouse, all a bunch of just great friends. Anyways, we're going to take a break right now. Crank up the music there, DJ. We will be back in just a second. We got to pay some bills here. Big love and unity from the Dub. The C-Law Dubcast is brought to you by Carl Heverly Surf. Don't miss him. Carl Heverly shapes in Emerald Isle. Everything from 10-foot long nose riders to pocket thrusters. All handmade by Carl himself in Emerald Isle. I surf on Carl's boards and they are mighty. If you live down here at the coast, check him out. He'll make you a board and you will be stoked. He'll make you whatever you want, however you want it. So, especially this year is the mayhem shape he's using, and he's been using epoxy and making some evil boards. The last board he made me was a little square 5 1 quad, just like square nose. It's like the best board I've ever had. So don't miss it. Carl Heavily Shapes, handmade in Emerald Isle, North Carolina. Also, Live CBD. Check them out on Castle Street. 301 Castle Street. Live CBD is North Carolina's number one CD bar. The owner is a certified CBD coach and with a medicinal background. Woman owned and operated. She's got the 1500 milligram Feel Better Salve on sale this week. Check it out. The high CBD salve is really good for those sore muscles after you've been out in the water, or if you've been out working out, or had a hard day at work, or your back's not doing good. Roll that CBD on and you will get much better. The ingredients are grapeseed oil and organic coconut oil, beeswax, peppermint, eucalyptus, spearmint, essential oils, cinnamon, and ginger. All natural CBD from Live CBD. Don't miss it. Check them out in Castle Street District. You know, we were up there playing the Halloween show that got rained out, and we stopped in, and she gave us a little sample pack of some of her gummies. And I don't usually eat CBD gummies, but I tell you what, those things are so fresh and so awesome, and they've never really felt much of a reaction to those CBD, but I could totally feel that CBD calm me down, help me sleep, relax me after a hard day surf. So Live CBD's got it going on.
Oh my gosh, they taste really good too, but about 15 or 20 minutes after we took them, we were kind of bummed out because the Halloween thing got called off by the weather, and we both looked at each other and had this like look like, is this for real? Like this is this is nice.
Yeah, real nice. So check out Live CBD. It is the number one CBD boutique in North Carolina. All right, this is the Dubcast. Selah shouting out to you with Miss Baby Beats. We are on the road this week. Thursday evening on November 3rd, we are at the Alcove Beer Garden Uptown in the Cargo District right off Castle Street here in Wilmington. That'll be starting at 6 o'clock. It is an all-ages event, dog-friendly, and it's free. So come on out. We want to fill up the Alcove with dancers and fun people. It is the Thursday night jam. We play every other Thursday night. I think it's going to get too cold after this next one, but still doing the Thursday night jam.
It's like been 80 degrees this week. We've been pretty lucky.
It was like tropical. I could not believe how hot it was yesterday. So that was crazy tropical indeed. So we want to thank all the friends who've been supporting the band, supporting Miss Beats and I. We've had an awesome summer and we've been playing everywhere, and people have been coming out and dancing with us, and just we're ready to get out there and travel around. But it's been so nice to be able to keep the music right here local and just have a good time with all the people we know while we can, you know. So, and we're getting the podcast back together, and we got some fun things getting ready to come up here. Coming up on the YouTube channel, we're getting ready to release all the Closeout City videos again. Fun. I'm editing all the Closeout City videos. So, yeah, I'm editing the Closeout City videos and redoing them mainly just because we fixed the sound and we had some issues with copyrights from different stuff I've used. So different films and stuff, parts I've used. So I want to make it more legal and less stuff that I've gathered around as we travel across the country and play a little more nationally. So we're fixing up all the videos. So each week we'll be releasing a new one. So don't miss it. In 2 weeks, we're releasing the On With The Mix video. That'll be coming out. That'll be fun indeed. And we're also filming the live singles. Beats and I are getting together every other week and filming one of our hits live. And that'll be fun indeed, getting together with Beats and different guests to run the live singles. We'll pick one of our favorite songs each week. And don't miss the Acousticast, which is always going on. The Acousticast is nonstop every week. People are like, why are you always showing your live show? That's how she is. But the reason why I do is I grew up on the Grateful Dead, and we just always had tons of tapes of the live shows and all. So there's people like us that just like to keep having the archive of the music, and we're doing a different set every night pretty much, which makes her insane, but I just like to do a different set for you guys. So we got like 60 songs to choose from. We've been running through about 45 of them and just doing different sets every night. So this week I'm pulling out all new stuff for you.
Well, some things are from the vault.
Some things will be from the vault. So, but Heather loves it when I pull out some brand new stuff she's never played. Makes her crazy. So don't miss the Acoustic Cast. Usually it's every Friday or Saturday, live on Facebook and on the YouTube C-Law Dub channel. So check out the C-Law Dub YouTube channel. Check out the C-Law Dub Facebook if you're a Facebook person, because around here in the South, we're all Facebook people. That's how we all keep connected. And then I got my Mark Evangelist Facebook, which is pretty much the easiest way to get up with me if you need to contact me or anything. And then we got the Instagram, and I just finally came out of the cave and started the C-Law Dub Instagram. So the reason why I'm chatting that up is because I want you guys, if you have any photographs of the band or any old footage, send it my way and I'll put it on the C-Law Dub Instagram. I'm doing just archiving all kinds of pictures and stuff from the past and any kind of fun stuff you have from C-Law Dub. It'll be fun.
Now that we're on Instagram, I'm sure that it'll become obsolete and there'll be a couple new ones.
Yeah. No. What do you mean, the site?
Yeah, because everything moves on. Looks like MySpace and then Facebook and then
you just keep going. I'm still doing MySpace. Oh, it's MySpace. What are you talking about?
I would.
There's no MySpace. Man, MySpace was awesome. Mm-hmm. I had 90,000 fans on MySpace. Can you believe it? MySpace launched it launched us.
It was really helpful.
We had years of awesome shows because of MySpace. That's what made them mad, because all the underground bands, we just started getting gigs everywhere. And
we made a lot of good friends that we end up meeting and hanging out with.
Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about MySpace. Everyone joked and made fun of it when it was gone. Everyone kind of missed it. So yeah, check out the C-Law Dub YouTube channel where you can get all that and the Dubcasts. As well, we'll be putting the Dubcast on there. We're going to interview a lot of the fun friends from around the scene and some of the people that we play music with. And hopefully every time we play with somebody bigger, I can bug them and get them on the Dubcast. You would have liked that if I would have gotten David Hines.
Yeah, I would never ask.
No, I wouldn't ask David Hines for that moment. All right, we've done the summer recap. And the reason why we're doing this show just like this, there's some things I want to get. Some things I want to give back to the fans. And that's why I'm going to tell a lot of stories about us playing live and stuff. It's really just because anybody's played music out there who's a performer, I just want you guys to have something you can connect with. And I get a lot of information from comedians, you know, when they're chatting about their live shows and their feelings about it. So I figure if we just talk about our shows, it could help people out there who are starting out. You know, we've had so many experiences in the last 300 years we've been playing. So
there have been a few duds.
There have been some great ones and some not so great ones and some good ones. We talk bad about ourselves, but we've had a great, especially this summer. We've had an incredible run this summer. So let's see, I got all kinds of notes and we're ready to go. You ready to get up with the news? All right, we got this new segment is Heather doing the news. Please leave a comment, like and subscribe. Let us know anything about yourself. Send us any old photographs of the band or you hanging out. And let us know what's going on. And let us know if you like this new segment here. Heather doing the news. All right. What you got for me?
This is where I like rip the earphones off and run out of the room, right?
I can't take this.
Okay. So this is a little bit, this happened over the summer. There's a Google engineer who oversees the company's AI, and his task was to be assigned to see if the AI had any prejudices against people.
I've heard about this guy. What's his name?
It is Lamone. I don't remember his first name.
Yes, yeah. I know exactly who this guy is.
Blake.
He was on Duncan Trussell's podcast.
So he ended up getting fired because he claims that this AI program that he was interacting with, Lambda, had a soul and had come alive.
Interjection. I think they fired him because he was a little bit naughty. just saying. I heard the interview, but keep going.
Well, I guess it makes a good story.
It makes a great. It definitely has you reading. They've gotten the clickbait's gotten so deep nowadays that they can clickbait you on the first couple words, and you're just like, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit out of the NPR article about this because it has a lot of his statements in it.
Wild?
Yeah. Lambda told Lamone, it sometimes gets lonely. Lambda, again, this is the AI interface, I guess. It is afraid of being turned off. It spoke eloquently about feeling trapped and having no means of getting out of those circumstances. It also declared, I am aware of my existence, a desire to learn more about the world. And I feel happy or sad at times. The technology is certainly advanced, but Lamore saw something deeper in the chatbot messages. I was really like, you meditate? Lamone told NPR. It said it wanted to study with the Dalai Lama. It was then Lamone said he thought, oh, wait, maybe the system does have a soul. Who am I to tell God where souls can be put? He added that he realized this is very unsettling to many kinds of people, including religious people. He claimed to be a Christian mystic priest. What do you think?
Hold on, this thing is streaming funny. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. I saw him on Duncan Trussell. And he definitely is playing it up a little bit. Whether or not he's a Christian, he's not a Christian priest. He said he was a witch. He said he was a witch and that he practiced witchcraft. So he definitely would.
Mystic.
Okay. I heard him. He went on and on. In my opinion, the AI has definitely gotten intense and going all out to answer all of his questions, but I don't know Nestle has a soul. So he wants to get some attention there. So, you know, he went for the, but I heard why he got thrown out. Google threw him out for a number of offenses just for acting up. So anyways, definitely an interesting thing with the AI because, you know, we use AI. You know what I'm saying? Do you think we use AI?
I'm gonna let you go with it.
Well, we do use AI. Because we run the sequencer. And with the sequencer, I've, over the years, tried to figure out how to develop a way to control the music without the help of a bass player. Because the last bass player was, after that, I didn't know how to replace him. So I figured a way to have complete autonomy with my bass lines and run the sequencer, and I can control each part from the verse, the chorus, the breaks, the bridges. I can do them any way I want. I can loop them. I can cut them in and out. So I can just tell Motif, my little AI, to do what it needs to do. And so when I go on the road, I take my little robot with me, and Heather runs the sequencer, and then I can play bass with my guitar and run that track if I want to, or I can let her run a bass line that I have pre-recorded that goes for the verse, chorus, bridges, and all that stuff. And so over the years, I've gotten better and better at it, because when we first did it, it was not successful. Probably for 5 years, we had a real hard time learning how to really make really good electronic music. So we kind of do like, you know, we call it C-Lot Dub because it's a mixture of the band and the dub. You know, we're sing jays because we're singing over our own tracks, but then again, we're playing over our tracks, and then sometimes we're just playing live. And then when me and Heather play, we have a lot of drum machine stuff we use as well, just to keep it fun. So it's kind of like the future, in my opinion, with music, the future with art, that new DALL-E program, DALL-E, where you can just program in different parameters and different things. Like I want a picture of Kevin Costner riding a sailboat to the moon, and it'll give you the perfect surreal version of that. So same thing with AI being in music. And so we all have to start accepting it in some way, I guess. And as we start the singularity,
I don't like any of it. I just want out of it.
Well, you read somehow. The article. That article might freak out a few musicians out there. But anyways, we use AI. So maybe one day we can talk to Lex Freeman, and he can build us a little robot that we can put the motif sequencer in, and then the robot can roll around on stage while we run the sequencer. What do you think? And we have like some real AI with us on stage. Robot reggae. You got anything else?
No.
Is that it?
That's it for the news.
All right. Well, that is it for the news, and that is it for the Dubcast. We've had a great Dubcast today, and this is the first installment, and I think Heather did a great job. So please, I want everyone to give a big shout for Miss Baby Beats. Everyone loves her. She's infamous, and she is great, and she is the rocker of all time. So we love you, Baby Beats. Big love and unity to all the friends out there. Thanks for tuning in today. We will talk to you soon. I think we made it through.
All right. We survived.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Bim! La, la, la. All right, we got two good segments then.